This is...
Isn't there anything job-related that you should be doing at this particular moment?
The Great American Podcast.
Do not panic! Do not panic! We are trained professionals!
Hello, all you adventurers in the radio world. Podcast world, I mean. I'm sorry. Yes, again, it is time for the Great American Podcast. I am your host, Joey Donovan, podcasting, as always, behind Phil, my trusty condenser microphone. It's a rainy, droll, dreary day in here in the middle of the central of Central Florida, and I am sitting here doing the show, as always, indoors. It's been a long time since the last show. I'm not going to be doing that any longer. I have to do a show at least twice a week. I don't know. It's just for my own well-being, you know what I mean? Yeah, so how have you been? It's been great around here. It's been a pretty quiet week. I'm finishing the quarter in school, so it's been very busy. That's one of the reasons why I haven't podcasted lately. I'm trying to finish up. This quarter I have to do my book analysis, which is the equivalent of a book report, and a research report on, I have to submit my working outline for a research report I'm going to send in the third quarter. This quarter, I'm doing it on the controversies of George S. Patton, General George S. Patton. It's very, very fun. You know, the more I read about this guy, the more I like him. He did some absolutely crazy things, but he was one of the greatest generals, the greatest good guys in World War II, without a doubt. One of the greatest generals in the European theater of ops. Without a doubt. Let's see. Actually, I wanted to tell you a story. I actually, on the side, one of my extracurricular activities is I write for a small section of the newspaper called the OC, it's short for Off Campus. It's a page written by local high school teens, and it's very good. They have features and little blurbs, and it's very, very fun, and I just started, so... We meet the first Tuesday of every month at the newspaper, and we talk about story ideas and stuff. Most of it is, you know, community, you know, what's going on at your school, what's going on in my school. the latest story I wrote about was blogging. I interviewed some of the local teens around here, and they did a spread on blogging. The graphic was really cool, but the graphic took up two-thirds of the space that I was supposed to have for my article, but, you know, that's the way it goes. The Oscar buzz is out. The Academy Awards buzz article is out by David Germain, as always. Some of the contendees for Academy Awards range from giant apes to country crooners to geishas to gay cowboys. Yeah, welcome to Hollywood. A wealth of performance-driven films, costume pageants, and visual spectacles are in the Oscar hunt, among them being the cowboy romance Brokeback Mountain, the giant ape flick King Kong, and oriental pageant Memoirs of a Geisha, the Jane Austen adaptation Pride and Prejudice, and the road trip chronicle Transamerica. And there are three films centering on illustrious figures in the 1950s and 60s, like the Johnny Cash saga Walk the Line, the Truman Capote drama Capote, and the Edward R. Murrow story Good Night and Good Luck. Other films jockeying for attention include the colonial epic The New World, the gangsta tale A History of Violence, and two dramas dealing with Middle East turmoil, the oil industry thriller Syriana and Munich, about the massacre of Israelis at the 1972 Olympics. Sorry, you know, I am really looking forward to Munich. I don't really know why it's getting so much controversy. It's another one of those, you know, personal tales. Sort of, I'm guessing it's sort of going to be sort of like Jarhead. There's not going to be much historical significance to it as much as it is a personal and emotional story. I don't know, really. All I know is by the previews, they seem to focus a lot about the characters, which I like. After last season's showdown between eventual Oscar champ Million Dollar Baby and the runner-up The Aviator, clear frontrunners have yet to emerge for the March 5 Oscars. The nominees are announced January 31st. I can't believe they gave the best picture to Million Dollar Baby. Personally, I didn't think that was a very good movie at all. The ending was horrible. The ending was... I found it offensive. Some are saying, well, you know, it's... But after the Terri Schiavo incident, I don't not think that was necessary to put in, you know. I don't know. In the Best Picture race, Steven Spielberg returns with Munich, his most serious film since Oscar winner Schindler's List and runner-up Saving Private Ryan. It recounts an Israeli assassination squad's manhunt for Palestinians suspected of plotting the massacre of 11 athletes and coaches at the 1972 Olympics. Yet, Munich could be a tough sell for Oscar voters, a disturbing reminder of unresolvable conflicts in the Middle East. Unresolvable. Of course they're resolvable. Critics speculated that Spielberg was too pro-Israel to make a fair movie. Oh. Huh. You know what? I'm sorry, but the Oscars are so too politically correct. I mean, The Passion last year, that, in my opinion, that should have got a lot more nominations, at least, than just three. They're just so darn politically correct. Pro-Israel. Pro-Israel, yet... I'm not going to get into that. Munich could vex Jews for its depiction of Israelis' Machiavellian... Oh, that's a weird word. Machiavellian machine of vengeance in the human face put on the assassin's Arab targets. Still, this is a Spielberg film, and a very good one. Alright, Peter Jackson delivered a Best Picture winner 2 years ago with The Lord of the Rings Return of the King, the most otherworldly film ever to win the top Oscar. Can Jackson do it again with the return of King Kong, his 3-hour remake of the 1933 adventure about a 25-foot gorilla who falls hard for a perky blonde? I don't know, but you know what? I think this is going to be a very, very, very big film. Peter Jackson has generated so much buzz. Seriously, I'm starting to call him the Buzzmaster. It's gonna be big. You know, I was watching Fox and Friends this morning while I was eating my breakfast, and they had this, I don't know, as an entertainment writer, but she has some sound bites from the King Kong premiere. I cannot believe how much weight Peter Jackson has lost. Have you seen it? It's amazing. He looks like a thin as a rail. It's amazing. He was toting around the original metal model for the original King Kong movie. Imagine how much that thing is. But you know what? I don't know. I think it's going to be great. Personally, I think the music's going to be good. This may be a little off the subject, but... have you heard the story behind the musical score of King Kong? It's really quite interesting. Howard Shore was supposed to be the composer, composer for King Kong, but because of creative differences, that's the way the Internet Movie Database put it, they split, and so James Newton Howard was brought in 1 month before, the release, or the premiere at least. So he had 1 month to score a whole movie, a 3-hour movie, and it's really quite amazing. They have the pre-release soundtrack on iTunes, and it sounds really good. You know, it's remarkable, because when I went to see Good Night and Good Luck, I was walking past one of those big 3D cardboard posters for King Kong, you know, those big publicity, stand-up things that they put in theaters, and down at the bottom where the credits were, I was looking at who did the music, and of course it said James Newton Howard, but it was strange because the color of the words, music by James Newton Howard, is slightly lighter than all the other credits, and when I looked closer, it was actually the thing that said music by James Newton Howard, it was actually a sticker. They had put it on obviously over Howard Shore's name, because all the publicity posters and the cardboard stand-ups had been made way before James Newton Howard has brought onto the project, and it's really quite amazing. I thought I'd just share that with you. It's really quite amazing to see these people get on the boat at the last minute and have to, like, create a whole other world. It's really amazing. Classic that it is, the original King Kong earned no Oscar nominations, but like the Lord of the Rings films, all of them Best Picture nominees, Jackson treats his primate story with utter seriousness, capturing a sense of tragic love that leaves a strong, dramatic impression amid the film's amazing visual effects and action sequences. Yeah, there's some reviews on... There's one review on the Internet Movie Database. And they say it's good. And all the reviewers are saying it's good. So I can't wait. I think it's going to be pretty good. Terrence Malick, the reclusive director whose 1998 war saga, The Thin Red Line, was a Best Picture nominee, is back with The New World, a work of high art on the big screen. Personally, I think The New World should get Best Trailer nominee. It looks absolutely fantastic, the preview. According to some of the trivia I read, they are actually shooting it on, I think it's either 65mm or 70mm film. And that's like extra big, extra widescreen, extra sharp definition. It's going to be I think it's going to be a Best Cinematography nominee, let's put it that way, because the last picture to shoot on that film stock was I don't know when. It's a long time ago. Now they're all moving to digital, so you're not going to see much film anymore. Other Best Picture candidates include Brokeback Mountain, Walk the Line, Pride and Prejudice, Syriana, Cinderella Man, and Memoirs of a Geisha. A year ago, Jamie Foxx had an early lock on the Best Actor prize for his remarkable emulation of Ray Charles. This time, Joaquin Phoenix has a good shot for his portrayal of another beloved musician, country maestro Johnny Cash. I didn't see that movie. I'm not really... no offense, but I'm not really into country music that much, so I didn't really cover that film. Philip Seymour Hoffman burst into the Oscar forefront in the title role of Capote. Hoffman uncannily replicates the... they misspelled the word here. The mannerisms of Truman Capote and presents a remarkable portrait of an artist torn between human affection and the call of his art as he crafts his true crime book in cold blood. Why do they all have to be R-rated? Here we go, another R-rated movie. George Clooney of Syriana and Colin Farrell of The New World are being pushed by their film's distributors in the supporting actor field, but they could end up drawing votes in the lead category from the actors branch of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. Motion Picture Arts and Scientists. Oh, I'm sorry. Other top possibilities, Nathan Lane, Matthew Broderick, and the producers. Personally, by the look of the preview of the producers, it looks like a pretty cheesy movie. You know, it's cute, it's got, you know, it looks colorful, and the music sounds great, and it looks like it's going to be styled after the old Hollywood musicals, but I don't know. Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick, who knows? Maybe they will be good, but from just the preview, it looks kind of corny. I don't know, never judge a movie by the preview. Other top possibilities for Best Actor. David Strathairn in Good Night and Good Luck. I agree with that totally. It's amazing. You know, he must have smoked 50-100 cigarettes in that whole movie. There was not one scene, it seemed, where there was not somebody smoking a cigarette. It was amazing. You know, I wonder how the set smelled. Oh, man. Other top possibilities, Viggo Mortensen in A History of Violence, Russell Crowe in Cinderella Man, Eric Bana in Munich, and Heath Ledger in Brokeback Mountain. In the Best Actress race, Felicity Huffman won an Emmy in September for Desperate Housewives. Now she's a key Oscar prospect for Transamerica, in which she, this is a family show, so if you do some research on the movie Transamerica, you'll find out. I'm not going to get into that. A rush of 20-something actresses are in the running for their first Oscar nominations. Keira Knightley in Pride and Prejudice, Reese Witherspoon in Walk the Line, Ziyi Zhang in Memoirs of a Geisha, and Claire Danes in Shopgirl. The only movie I've seen among those is Pride and Prejudice. It was very good, actually. I don't know. My mom really liked it. I'm not really into that chick flick sort of thing, if you know what I mean. It really is, you know, a period piece. I don't know. It was good. You know, the music and the cinematography and the art direction, it's all very good, but I just, that kind of thing doesn't really engage me that much. The directing prize could go to past winner Steven Spielberg for Munich, Ron Howard for Cinderella World, Cinderella Man, Woody Allen for Match Point, or Peter Jackson for King Kong. Other prospects: Ang Lee for Brokeback Mountain, Terrence Malick for The New World, Stephen Gagan for Syriana, James Mangold, Walk the Line, Joe Wright, Pride and Prejudice, Rob Marshall, Memoirs of Geisha, Susan Stroman, The Producers, David Cronenberg for A History of Violence, and some other honorable mentions. So, that is it for your consideration. Of course, you're not going to get any say in it, so I don't know even why I talked about it, but it's very fun to just know what the heck the Academy is up to nowadays. You know what I mean? I really find no... I'm just really turned off by the Academy lately. They've been too politically correct and too nice to everybody, you know? All those people on the left they're trying to say, we should all be nice to people. Politically correct. Don't offend anybody. We gotta be tolerant. I don't know. Alright, here's another one. Another news story by the AP. It's AP day today. Record cold hits Rockies and Midwest. Okay, so what was it during hurricane season? It was global warming. What was it during summer? Global warming. So now what is it? Record cold hits Rockies. I bet it's global warming. Yep, let's see. Oh, 45 below zero. Yeah, that's pretty warm. It's global warming, I'm telling you. We're plunging into a new ice age, but no, it's global warming. Actually, we're not turning into a new ice age, but it just drives me crazy because all these environmentalists pinpoint certain ice caps and glaciers in certain areas around the globe and say, they're melting, the world is boiling over, you know? Drives me crazy. I wish they could give us some nice hard proof of, like, over a long period of time instead of just pinpointing certain areas where ice is melting. You know what I mean? It's, when you read stories like this, record cold, that means, like, it's colder than it probably has been in a long time. But it's global warming, so shut up. Professor critical of creationism resigns post. University of Kansas professor who drew criticism for emails he wrote deriding Christian fundamentalists over creationism resigned Wednesday as chairman of the Department of Religious Studies. Department of Religious Studies, and he was deriding Christian fundamentalists over creationism. Oh boy. Paul Marecki stepped aside on the recommendation of his colleagues, according to Barbara Romzek, interim dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. This allows the department to focus on what's most important, teaching, research, and service, and to minimize the distractions of the last couple of weeks. Contracted by the Associated Press, Marecki declined to comment about his decision, only saying he was still a member of the university faculty and planned to continue teaching. So why was he against creationism? The story doesn't really say. Oh, here we go. A recent email from Marecki to members of a student organization referred to religious conservatives as fundies and said a course describing intelligent design as mythology would be a nice slap in their big fat face. Marecki apologized for those comments. A course describing intelligent design as mythology. You know, you would think that they would do a little research before they call intelligent design mythology. Why has intelligent design been coming up lately? It's because a lot of atheists have been turning towards that theory, and a lot of proof has been popping up that theory is actually possible. And here we have this supposedly smart professor said a course describing intelligent design as mythology would be a nice slap in their big fat fundy faces. So all you neocons out there have big fat faces and are fundies, according to Paul Marecki. But he has apologized, but I don't know if that means anything. Later, other emails written by Marecki that surfaced were deemed repugnant and vile by Chancellor Robert Hemingway for their views towards Catholics and other Christians. You know, I often wonder, why is there such a hate on the left of Christians and Catholics and evangelicals? Why is there such an underlying hatred for the conservative right? It just seems strange, you know? I mean, we Christians, we don't lash out and call liberals big fat fundies. We just state our views and take it or leave it, you know? We just state our views as because we know they're right. To others, they may not be right. But we just state our views, take it or leave it. We don't lash out and call the fundy... We don't hate people because of their views. We love the people. We can disagree with what they do and what their views are. So that's one of the biggest misunderstandings in the world today is, you know, you're judging me, you know. All the liberals say, you shall not judge. You judging Christians. You fundamentalist Christians who judge people and send them to hell and shove Jesus in their faces and you know, thump the Bible and, you know, all you holy rollers out there. That's just their view, you know. Conservatives are just trying to point their views as liberals are. So, I don't know. Here I go again. I'm talking politics. Well, that's part of the show prep, but I'm talking politics. I don't know if you really want to hear it. It doesn't matter. I'm going to go move on. As always, move on to another subject. Got an interesting little tech article. There's some little company, an Israeli company, has created a camera that can wirelessly relay video and audio. It is a baseball-sized camera that can be hurled from afar, survive the landing, and wirelessly relay video and audio back to base for 2 hours. Now, they say it's sort of aimed towards policemen, but this could be a very interesting thing for, like espionage, you know what I mean? And like, instead of having to raid a building or listen in, you can just throw this little baseball-sized camera in there. Hello, this is the CIA, you know? Police can expect to pay $4,800 for two eyeball cameras, whose batteries require recharging after about 2 hours of use, and the corresponding video monitoring equipment. Replacement eyeballs run about $1,700. That's very expensive, but I guess for the use it can be made, I guess it's a pretty good price. But it sounds interesting. It sounds interesting for new tools for policemen. Listen to the president's speech yesterday. It was very good, very good. I liked it a lot. I think he proved his point, and I think John Kerry's spokesman's reply was absolutely laughable. Anyway, here's another story from the health section. I just had to read it. It's really funny. Gold injections treat lions' arthritis. Veterinarians at Rome's zoo treated an elderly lion for arthritis by inserting some 50 gold pellets into the animal's muscles, officials said Wednesday. The Asian lion named Bellamy had difficulty walking until the procedure 2 weeks ago in which 24-karat gold pellets were inserted into its spinal muscles near the joint, said zoo's chief veterinarian Klaus Gunther Friedrich. He said the gold helps to relieve muscle contraction around painful areas. Technique has been used before on dogs, cats, and a tiger, but Friedrich and Bellamy said this was the first lion to undergo the treatment. Friedrich said he did not believe the small amount of gold he used was worth much. The lion is getting old. If we hadn't intervened, the situation would have gotten worse. Bellamy is nearly 13 years old. Oh, man, I know how you feel, Bellamy. I'm already 15. Rome's Bioparco Zoo said, life expectancy in the wild is around 16 years, but it can be longer for lions in captivity. So, I wonder if they're going to do this in humans now. You know, where are you going, Mabel? I'm going to go in for my gold injection. What are you getting the gold injection for? I'm getting it in my back. My back's sore, so I'm going to get some gold in there. All right, that's good. I'll get your gold injection. I'll meet you at Pinochle now. Yeah. I can just see it all now. Kids of overweight mothers have higher obesity risk. Here's another one of those stories that you probably thought was pretty obvious to begin with. The children of mothers who are obese before pregnancy or who smoke during pregnancy have a higher risk of becoming overweight at a very young age, a study in the Journal of Pediatrics reports. I'm not going to get into this very deep because it's nearing the end of the show. All I want to say is that I am not overweight. I'm around 100 pounds, but I keep my weight very steady by eating the right things and not taking diet pills. Yeah, you know, that's the those are the only commercials I ever see on TV nowadays. Oh, you can try this so-and-so in and Bushigan and Ertrigizin, and it'll make you lose weight because it's a hormone treatment. And Ersoda Slim and Ersoda Slim will help you lose weight. And you know, they always say in fine print, to be used with a reasonable diet plan. A reasonable diet plan will make you thinner. You don't need Ashley Slim to get thinner. I don't know. That's just one of my little blurbs again. Well, I guess that's the end. I don't think there's anything else I wanted to cover. I'm thinking of starting a sub-podcast called Les Blurbs, podcasting news, sort of like a little short little news program all about podcasting. I think it'd be kind of neat to read, you know, this little tech stories and news stories about podcasting and everything. I got the idea because I've been looking for a program sort of like Cast Blaster. Have you ever heard of that? It's like a live podcasting recording application for Windows that enables you to like play sound bites when you push a button and everything live. And I've been looking for one of those from Mac, and I have not been able to find one except for this one called Ubercaster. It looks very promising, and they're trying to find people who will be beta testers, and I offered to be one. I don't know if I'm going to get a reply, but you never know. If you have any sources where you know where there's a podcasting application like that, please let me know at thegreatamericanpodcast@gmail.com. That's where you send all your feedback and all your pithy comments. Sorry, Bill O'Reilly. And you can check out the website at thegreatamericanpodcast@blogspot.blogspot.com. Pardon me. I got a new title bar up. I love designing web graphics. You know, ever since I started blogging, I love making title bars and subheading bars and all those kind of things. It's really fun. I change it all the time, you know. When I have one of my original blogs, I used to change the title bar every week. I loved it. All right, well, I guess that does it. It's been a pretty newsy program, partially because nothing really exciting has happened in my life other than me being alive. So, I'll see you next time. This has been the Great American Podcast. I am Joey Donovan, and I have to give credit to my trusty microphone, Phil, and I'm going to end this with a PodSafe song from the Podcast Music Network. If you want to know what it is, go to my website, and it will tell you. So long, I'll see you next time, and good night, and good luck.